All right, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Like you a lot, Kirkers. We've got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. I got some college football stuff in my notes. We have audio we didn't play yesterday. Somebody I've never said anything negative about. Very excited he's on my team.
You also have somebody else on your team doing something kind of cool.
Yeah, man, I've been tracking spring football stuff pretty closely. Their spring game is a week from tomorrow.
That's bizarre.
Isn't that weird? I'm still thinking about going. The weather right now looks like it's supposed to be nice. I might take a Teddy ball game down there and run around.
Is it a Saturday?
It's a Saturday. Oh, hey.
That's a perfect sandwich in between games.
Blazer game Friday, Blazer game Sunday.
Yeah.
Nothing really going on Saturday.
It's an all day.
It's an all day thing.
Your whole Saturday is
I'm not going to be at the entire game if I go. That it would be, let's drive down, hang around. I don't even know how they format it in terms of like a halftime. I think they do somewhat of a halftime. You know, watch 30 minutes, 45 minutes of football, let them run around, have some fun, and see if I can get them down on the field, and then we're going to head back, okay? It's enough fun for one day. But we'll wait and see. We'll get to some of that stuff and some other things in the college football world that are in the news as of yesterday that I'd like to bring up of do we like this? All that still to come. We have not talked about yet the rest, Brandon Sprague, of the NBA playoffs.
We have not.
Your sport is upon us.
Yes.
You know the NBA season started? It's here, man. Playoffs are here.
Yeah.
What do I need to know?
Well,
educate me.
League's good. The league, the basketball is good. People don't like all the threes that they shoot. I understand it, but overall, the league, pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm going to be honest in the trust tree with you. Okay.
Yeah,
can we trust tree this one?
Absolutely.
Probably not going to watch tonight.
I don't blame you for skipping the play-ins.
I have actual playoff games to watch this weekend, including the Blazers.
And it's like, Friday.
It's a Friday night.
I got Braves-Phillies. I'm going to prioritize that.
Yeah, weather's supposed to be okay. It's a little warmer. It's not going to rain. I'll be up, you know, maybe grilling something. I don't know. Going to the park with the kiddo.
I totally get it. If you want to skip some of, not all of the play-in tonight.
And both teams who win, by the way, are going to play this weekend.
And
I can watch
them. The Hornets are the more exciting team to get into the postseason. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2015-16. They haven't won a playoff series. When's the last time Charlotte won a playoff series?
I don't believe they've won one since coming back as the Bobcats. So it has to be before then.
You would be correct.
I would go 1997.
2001, 2002 with Paul Silas.
Who was on the 0102 Hornets?
By the way, RIP.
Yeah.
Paul Silas.
What Hornets team was that? Because that's post Larry, Grandma.
That would have been. Man, Baron Davis, B. Diddy.
I used to have a Larry Johnson Charlotte Hornets jersey, and
this?
I lost it. And
Friend
I really
of
it
the
back.
City, Stacey Augman.
Hey.
P.J. Brown.
Okay.
Campbell was still in the league.
What?
Baron Davis. Jamal Mashburn.
Jamal Mashburn's a great throwback
How
name.
About this? Former Husky, Eldridge Rakasner. I feel like he's been retired a long time now.
Very long time.
And then who can forget? Jamal McGlure.
Oh, Jamal McGlure. I think I had a Jamal McGlure rookie card. That thing was in hard plastic. His future was bright.
By the way, Robert Tractor Trailer was on that team.
Yes, R.I.P.
David Wesley, one of my favorite underrated shooters.
Yes.
And a NCAA tournament legend, Bryce Drew.
That is a fun walk down memory lane
right
there.
That is a fun little Hornets team that they had, and they got to the Eastern Conference semis. 2001. 2002.
Well, I don't think they're going to beat the Pistons, so that streak will probably live on. But if they win tonight, they will at least be punching their ticket. I'm going to play a fun game with Brandon Sprague. You ready to come on down to the main stage?
Let's do it.
Let's power rank.
You should have told Brandon we have game show music in the system.
Yeah, there's something there. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
That's all right.
Blame swag.
We're not playing Net Pacer, okay?
No, we're not going to play the official game of Net Pacer. I am going to play the fun game of power rank.
Power ranking.
For me, and this is, by the way, with two of the series being incomplete, because we don't know who the two teams will win tonight are yet, but I'm assuming those will fall down the list a little bit for you.
Yep.
I want your 1 through 8 most exciting to least exciting first round playoff series in terms of excitement and watchability going in.
So my top 8 most excited?
All 8. I want you to rank all 8. We got 8 playoff series in the first round. Now, again, 2 of them, we don't know who Detroit's going to play. We don't know who OKC's going to play.
Coming in at number 8.
So, yeah, we'll go last to first. Work your way up. So you got Cavs, Raptors, T-Wolves, Nuggets.
So I'm just
Hawks,
doing the
Knicks.
Ones that I know for sure?
No, you can do the ones and 8s. They can be your 8th and 7th.
Those are my last.
Okay, which one's worse? Pistons versus TBD?
No,
or
it's Thunder
OKC
versus TBD, because if it's the Suns, it's going to be a 30-point rout in a four-game sweep. If it's the Warriors, it's going to be a 27-point rout because Steph hit another three.
Steph, hey, maybe.
So at least I get Steph Curry in my life. So that's going to be seven. And then the
Detroit versus TBD is number seven.
I think it's going to be Charlotte, but I can understand Orlando randomly winning this game just to get swept by the Pistons. Okay,
so you got 76ers Celtics, obviously. Blazers versus Spurs.
I'm going to go number six.
Rockets, Lakers.
I'm
going to
go Boston and Philly.
Okay.
Number six. Don't really care about that series.
Is there any hope of Embiid coming back?
They have to take it to seven.
If there's any chance.
And I love Maxey. Edgecombe's been fun.
Who did he dunk on? He kind of yammed on, said nuts on the forehead. Who was that the other night in the play-in?
I don't remember.
He got in it with somebody on Orlando.
Who was it?
Was it Suggs? Did he go with Suggs?
Maybe Ben Suggs, because Suggs likes to contend dunks.
Suggs was terrible in that game, by the way.
Shout out Jalen Suggs, dude. He finally recognized it was time to shave the hair.
Yeah, acknowledge it.
I appreciate people who acknowledge it. That's okay. And he doesn't look awful. Breaking news.
That was directed at me a little bit.
Wasn't directed at you at all.
I feel like it was a shot.
Dude.
I feel like you're taking a shot at my hairline.
You got Fabio hair compared to what Jalen Suggs had. Are you kidding me? That was crazy.
Living large.
Okay, so Boston and
Philly is six.
Philly is number six.
Now we're into your top five. The top five playoff series, according to Brandon Sprague.
Okay, I'm gonna try to be unbiased, but I'm also adding my bias.
Okay.
Spurs-Blazers.
It's a biased, unbiased take? Is that what you're telling me?
Spurs-Blazers.
You're not superstitious? You're just a little stitious?
We're in it. We haven't been in it in a while. Feels good to be in it. The water's probably not hot in that hot tub. It's probably a lukewarm hot tub once we get in. But at least it's something, and it's something to do.
It's nothing worse than getting in a hot tub, and it's not 102.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
98-degree hot. Like, what is this? Now I'm in a bath.
That was Vietnam.
It's stupid.
Oh, I'm going to jump in that. That looks delightful. What's God, it's freezing here. Yeah, dude, it's Vietnam. It's not Los Angeles, okay? That's what you learn.
All right, top four. Okay. Your Mount Rushmore of first-round playoff series.
Top four, I have to go Lakers-Rockets. I think that's
I'm surprised you put Lakers-Rockets ahead of us, to be honest, with the unknown of Luka.
It's LeBron and KD. It's probably the last time.
I guess that's fair because LeBron is playing and KD's playing.
I'm not saying LeBron's going to win it. I'm not going to say LeBron's going to be good in it. It's just LeBron-KD in a playoff series against each other might be the last time in my life.
Okay.
Let me just appreciate that.
Fair take. I forgot about LeBron. I don't know how I did that, but I did.
Ime Udoka calls LeBron a bitch and then also calls his son a bitch.
He does,
I got the coach that might want to fight.
Yeah.
Plus, I got Kevin Durant.
We didn't talk about Bronny's trademark the other day.
B9?
B9.
Do whatever you need to do, man.
You know?
I'm not mad at Bronny for doing something.
Earn that money, baby.
I'm going to go the next one.
Top three.
Toronto-Cleveland. Now, many would not put this one this high.
I certainly would not.
And I don't blame you.
What is your reasoning?
I have a ticket on Cleveland to win the East. I'm selfish. I'm sorry it's about me, but you asked my list.
Dude, if they lose to Toronto in the first round of the playoffs.
It's going to be pretty wild.
Oh, my God.
That's
a disaster. Like, that's another fun game that we can play maybe
later
in the show. Like,
blow it up.
Power rank the teams who have the most on the line in the first round.
Well, the Knicks.
Knicks are for sure number one.
Knicks number one.
Is Cleveland number two? Is there another team that loses in the first round? Like, outside of the shocking, like, OKC.
Spurs aren't going to blow it up.
They got Wemby. And the OKC just won a title.
OKC's not going to lose.
No.
Houston?
If they lose to a Luka-less Lakers,
yeah, that's a good one, Brandon.
That's a solid poll.
That's a good one.
Is it Houston or is it Cleveland? Who's higher on the list?
Cleveland.
It's probably Cleveland because it feels like Donovan starts questioning what is this organization doing?
Where do we go from here?
And also, are they going to pay James Harden? Because they traded for him.
That's so cool. Right. He's a free agent this offseason.
Yeah. Suddenly, you're interested. Huh? Look at you. You're on my bandwagon.
You kind of convinced me there. Right. I'm not going to lie.
Number two. The second best series. It's Denver and Minnesota.
Okay.
Now, you think this is number one, and I think a lot of people are with you. It's Jokic. It's Ant Edwards. It's hold these while I'm dunking. I totally understand it. They got a little bit of a playoff history.
Yeah.
I just think this Minnesota team's not very good, and I think they're coming in limping a little bit. Even with that confidence, I'll put it number two. I still think Denver wins the series in six.
Talk about big ramifications, by the way, either way. Like, Minnesota is looking in the mirror of, we haven't been able to get over the hump, and then we regress this year, and vice versa for Denver. Like, we have the best player on the planet, potentially, and we can't get out of the first round of the playoffs if we lose that series.
And also, Murray's healthy, Gordon's back.
They're playing good ball at the end of the year, man.
I said this about the All-Star game, and I know nothing's going to change, but I'm going to say it again. The fact that Nikola Jokic literally doesn't care and sits on the bench in an all-star game that at least got some more interest from the players, it seemed, and he took zero flack, and if that were LeBron James or Kevin Durant...
Oh, we'd kill him for it.
We would have destroyed him.
Yeah.
If Nikola Jokic loses in round one, your team's healthy now, we're going to say anything? Or are we just going to be like, well, Sam Edwards, no big deal, yada, yada, yada.
How long does the title count for? How much grace does that buy you?
All I'm asking is, like, when are we going to start holding some of the European players that we don't really get excited about who are awesome? When are we going to start holding them accountable?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair take. I don't know about Jokic being it, but I think it's a fair take.
And number one for me, I think it's going to end up being the best series. There is going to be some the serious FU energy. And you can hold this against me if I end up being wrong, but if I'm going to advise you to watch playoff basketball that you don't really care all that much about...
This is the one you're pointing me to?
Knicks-Hawks.
Even without Trae Young involved.
What do I care about Trae Young?
Because the last time they
upgraded.
Played...
CJ McCollum, line two. Wait till Jalen Johnson emerges on your screen. You want to see Kat go 1-for-10 at the Garden? Because it's going to get testy.
He'll do that for sure.
His numbers actually against the Hawks are really good. I think this is going to be a 7-game series.
Okay, so you think it'll be the best of the bunch?
I have that kind of standard. Mikal Bridges has not had a great year. All right, what happens to the Knicks if they lose?
I don't know.
I don't know what the date is.
Team on the list too.
But yeah, Atlanta at a certain date has been the hottest team in the entire East.
They fired their coach for losing in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They got to Game 7 of the Conference Finals.
I'm just saying.
And fired.
You imagine the Hawks, who nobody cares about, going into the Garden and winning, like, Game 2?
The only reason I bring up the Trae Young thing, you're probably right on Atlanta. I'm not going to pretend that I've seen any Atlanta Hawks basketball this year, sans the two times they played Portland.
No doubt.
And I don't even remember if I watched both of those games.
They got two Blazers on that team.
Was the Trae Young Madison Square Garden stuff was pretty fun. Like, I can't stand him. He drives me nuts. He was a great villain in that arena, and he played into it very well. And so without him, there's a little bit of that component that's lost. But I think the team still has it where the fans hate the Hawks.
I don't remember what your take was of Pacers-Knicks last year, and I know the stakes seemed a little higher than six-seed Hawks. I'm acknowledging that.
I think it was the nostalgia was great, too, because it was a series that felt like it was straight out of 1996.
You're right. You cannot duplicate what the Garden gives you in heartbreak.
The Garden.
When that Halliburton shot hit the back rim straight up a mile.
Yes.
And dropped.
One of the crazier endings.
There's not a better arena to see heartbreak than the Garden.
Yes.
And if the Hawks win game one or two, W fans going to be rocking on that following day.
Not to mention the other side of it, that if they are to win game one, which is tomorrow for them, you know that their fans are going to stream out of the arena and you're going to get bing bong videos all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
We're coming for the title. This is our year. Like, you know Knicks fans are going to be
they
over the
top. They take care of business.
Yes.
All right, we're legit. We can win the East. The East is sick. Tatum's a bomb. He's not healthy. Pistons never been there. Right. This is our time.
It's going to be great.
Like, you know, and then we also have a coach who might do a rail in the locker room just to get going.
Can't blame
him. I'm not.
Kicks you in a high gear.
No judgment. You know?
Not that I know anything about it. We'll get to some college football notes coming up bottom of the hour.
There's my power ranking.
I'm
going to
tweet it out. Do we agree with Brandon Sprague?
No, we don't. There,
power ranking of playoff series.
Which one do you think I have wrong?
The only one. You're selling me a lot. And it's riding on C.J. McCollum. And the last time I saw C.J. McCollum in the playoffs, he stepped out of bounds.
It's riding on Jalen Johnson.
Okay.
And C.J. McCollum.
Okay. That's the only...
And Alexander Walker.
That's a bold move, Cotton.
Okay.
Bold move. But it might work out for you. I'll tweet it out. Top eight playoff series, according to one Brandon Sprague. We'll get to college football coming up bottom of the hour. Next, though, an end of an era. Let's reminisce, shall we? Next on the Fam. All right, some college football stuff in the news coming up bottom of the hour. I saw this last night and I thought, you know, we've known this is going to happen. At least assumed it was going to happen for a long time. We've debated what the best outcome of all of this could potentially be. But now we have a specific date and we know when it's going to come to an end. And that is... Let's all say RIP together to the final day of the Lloyd Center will be on August 8th.
Yeah, I read this in like yeah, to your point, we've been waiting.
It's like, what are you going to eventually do with it? There already some of it. I read
Grandpa's 94, and we've been saying every year, you got to be at this Christmas. This could be his last one.
Last
we've done
Christmas.
That since 87.
Last so Christmas. Like, this is the
this
year.
This is it.
Well, now we officially know. It's Grandpa's last Christmas. We're taking him out back and shooting him on August 8th. It is over for the Lloyd Center.
Yeah. I think the tough thing with this is I'd have more emotional pull on this if I had still been regularly going and it still was the mall I grew up in.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't
everybody
even,
did in our, you know, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, like, for some people, it wasn't their closest mall. My closest mall was probably 205. Now, some people's moms were dancing at Club 205 next to Mall 205, so Mall 205 was a great little area. But I went to Lloyd Center the most. Yeah. And for some people, it was Washington Square. It's hard to feel much when you already have felt like it's been gone.
When it's already dead to a certain
it's already,
extent.
Yeah, it
out of sight, out of mind.
It 90%
away. Vacancy rate, by the way, in the last handful of years.
And I've seen a lot of the follow-ups. Like, I went there recently. There was a secondary pet supply store. So they'd get people who donate their supplies. They don't have pets anymore and need to sell them.
Right.
I went to one of those stores, and I remember walking in and looking around and going,
pretty depressing.
Depressing.
Yeah.
And you could just see it on some of the employees' faces. Now, I know that more small businesses had started to frequent it and try to, you
little
know,
pop-up stands here and there. Yeah.
I certainly love that people do that. But for the size of the building and what it once was, yeah, I'll have some nostalgia always remembering a lot of memories. I worked there, kind of grew up there in a lot of different ways, like going there on the Max and the experience. Dude. The blind guy in the wheelchair just right at the crosswalk telling you to make money and everybody on the Max speculating that he made $90,000 a year in donations.
In dollar bills and change.
Man, like, I could talk about Lloyd Center forever, but it's already felt dead, so it's hard to, like, see that and feel something new.
I'm with you. Now we know the official date. I did chuckle reading through some of this because this is usually how Portland works. Like, my high school is going through this right now. They're rebuilding all the PIL schools one at a time. And Cleveland is up next. They got a big thing next week that it's like they're inviting everybody back as a walkthrough before they tear the thing down this summer. But I was talking to my dad recently, and he told me that there's been some hang-ups on it because there's people who are advocating that the bricks that they used to build the building were historical bricks.
Like, they don't make bricks like that anymore?
So now it's like,
or do we just,
the thing would crumble in a heartbeat if there was an earthquake, but God forbid we get rid of the historical bricks. So now it's like a hang-up of, will they actually tear it down on time? And reading through this, I was just chuckling of the amount of people who are coming out of the woodwork who probably have nothing to do with the mall, don't shop at the mall, haven't been inside the mall in 10 years, saying, no, this is a historical landmark that this community needs, and we need to revitalize
the mall
and change it. It's like, what? Nobody is here. What are we doing? It's like the most Portland thing of all time. Yeah, I think it's a good point of we've known Grandpa's got to die for a while, so it doesn't quite hit the same as a sudden death, if you will.
You're still a little
maybe
sad
younger.
By it, but
still,
yeah.
You'll drop a tear, but it was a reading through it yesterday and seeing that they now have at least a specific date on August 8th when they're going to shut down operations and then start tearing the thing down. I think it's going to turn into a mixed-use neighborhood. Did I read that correctly is what they're going to do with
what
it?
What does that mean?
Housing and apartment apartment complexes, that kind of stuff, I believe is what the plan for it is. Now, they're not tearing all of it down. Like, the Regal Cinemas is going to stay, so the movie theater will stick around. I guess there's like
the movie theater in the mall?
They're keeping the movie theater.
Because we still have the movie theater across the street that has just been fenced. What are we doing with that?
I don't know.
That's a big land.
Maybe that one's getting torn down. I mean, the K2 story said the Regal Cinemas is going to stick around, and there's a pickleball place over there that they're keeping. The Olds got to play their pickleball, so that's not going anywhere.
The Olds, man.
The Youngs are
into
it, too.
Don't poo-poo the pickleball. People our age. Knees are starting hurting. Backs are tweaking. We can't move as much anymore.
I can't wait to go for walks in the park again when it gets sunny out and hear nothing but pickleball paddles.
I'll always have fond memories. I used to Christmas shop there. My mom would go there.
I had birthday parties there on their ice skating rink. As a January birthday kid, not a lot to do. I did a couple ice skating birthdays. Take the bros out. Let's go skate, boys.
We used to make fun of those kids.
Hey.
Probably look down at you and be like, look at them. That nerds, that's their birthday party. They're going ice skating.
Now if a hockey game breaks out and I can stop at the blue line, we'll see who's laughing then when your ass is running into the walls.
And now the tuna's eating the lion.
Beer league hockey.
I worked at that mall. I worked at Just Sports. Became an assistant manager at that mall.
They give you the tools.
Used to regularly try to pick up ladies at that mall. Yeah. I bought all my fake earrings at that mall. Who can forget my experience to go see, on the opening night, Get Rich or Die Trying and sitting next to Jared Jack. Who could ever forget that experience? An Orange Julius, Jared Jack?
Blazer 50 legend.
50 Cent in a movie?
Blazer legend.
It doesn't get better. And I Chris Farley'd him.
Remember that one time?
I literally was like, Jared Jack. And he goes, I'm Jared Jack. And I went, dude, Georgia Tech. And he went, I went to Georgia Tech.
Yep.
And then he walked away.
I'm not sitting here anymore.
I was like, blew that one there, Brandon,
yeah,
didn't you?
That
you
didn't
blew
go
that
well.
One, didn't you?
Could have been a recurring guest on the show, but you ruined that relationship for us.
I mean, who didn't go to that Toys R Us and contemplate how many things you used to want to steal?
How many can I sneak out of here
who
one time?
Who didn't go to Sharper Image and
Sharper
have that uncomfortable
Image.
Massage chair go right
yes.
near your butt and be like, I kind of like this, but I don't.
Is Sharper Image still a store?
I don't.
Is it still out there?
It used to be at Pioneer Square Mall. That was the last time I saw it.
It's been a while since I've been in a Sharper Image, but that was 100% go-in rate for me at the mall whenever you were at Lowe's. I don't know if I ever bought anything in
you
there.
You want to talk about malls
but
that are
every
dying.
Time I went in there, every time I went to the mall, I went into Sharper Image.
When's the last time you went to Pioneer Square? I went into that because
it's been a decade probably.
My wife's cousin owns a thrift store. And they literally have an entire floor that's empty, and he just leased it out and had all these little, like, independent thrifters. They just had little booths. And I was like, well, this is a really smart idea.
That's kind of cool.
But, man, you walk into that mall, that mall's dead. You know, the only two malls I think I would say are doing well.
Everybody shops online now, man.
Washington Square
yeah.
is ridiculous. And Clackamas Mall.
Clackamas Town
which
Center.
Which I go to all
strong.
The time.
Yeah, it's still going strong.
Yeah. Those two, Mall 205 I think is still a thing, but it's nowhere near what it used to be.
I don't go over there at all either, so I can't. I have no frame of reference.
Are you becoming like getting old, that's a dangerous part of town guy?
No, I just, the Clackamas Town Center is closer, and so it's like, unless there's I rarely ever go to it. If there's a specific store there that they don't have, I'll just buy what I need online.
Yeah.
Instead of driving that far.
Yeah, definitely get that.
Town center, I can get there in 10 minutes. That'll be all right.
The city's changing.
It is, and retail space is changing. So I'll be curious how it all turns out. August 8th, the last day, RIP to the Lloyd Center. Your Jared Jack story did make me chuckle. I remember being at a Portland Beaver game one time, and they teased we have a Blazers throwing out the first pitch, and I got so excited. Like, oh, I wonder what Blazer it's going to be, and Jared Jack walked out.
Did you not get excited? He came off a Final Four run here.
I know. It just...
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I
met
know.
Sebastian Telfair
he
at
was
Lloyd
no,
Center.
He was no Sebastian Telfair.
He walked into just sports. Nobody else was there. And I went, yo, Bassey, love the doc. And he goes, thanks, my guy. And then I grabbed a jersey. I bought it. Had him sign it. Now, it's not aged well.
No.
But is it in my garage?
Very cool thing to have.
It is.
Hey, he's out of jail now. He's turning his life around.
I met Floyd Mayweather at Just Sports at Lloyd Center. He had a fight randomly here years ago. It was before he was really like Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah, before he got big.
Dude, nobody knew who he was. He was just the short black guy. Walked in, had all these gold chains.
Like Floyd Mayweather.
I helped him shop. He was looking for hats and jerseys, and I helped him. And I probably talked to him for 10 minutes. He walked out, and the guy comes out and goes, dude. And I was like, what?
What?
He bought like $400 of merch. He goes, are you not going to say anything? And I go, say anything about what?
Should've he got goes, his autograph.
That was Floyd Mayweather. I go, who's Floyd Mayweather?
Never heard of him before.
He goes, he's fighting tomorrow at the Rose Garden. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, all right.
Cool.
You got any tickets available? Can I go? Hey, what's up, Floyd?
Really small in person.
Yeah, tiny guy.
I mean, obviously he would piece me up, but
sure.
Really small in person.
R.I.P. Lloyd Center. Hell of a run. End of an era. We have a change coming to college football that we've been asking for a while. What is it? I'll tell you. Also, backup quarterbacks are in the news, and we'll tell you what they had to say. That's next. Well, sometimes you say things about athletes, and then you turn around and you're like, ah, crap. Now I got to root for them.
You know,
it would be a good comp of this. This would be like Dylan Brooks joining the Blazers next year and being like a good player. And maybe that's
Draymond Green, Dylan
Draymond
Brooks.
Green, right, guys who we've hated. And
John Morant.
John Morant. He's available. You want to go get him?
How quickly is...
All of our tones would
how
change.
Quickly is everybody in on John Morant?
The first highlight dunk that he has,
yeah.
Any bad tweet I have is getting deleted.
Who's the most woke Portlander that puts a two-way sticker on their car?
I'm all of a sudden an Oregonian.
I just registered at a gun range.
You got any shotguns in here?
I've got a 9mm.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, Brandon.
Yeah.
But it's happening to me a little bit now.
It is. I'm
it's
so
happening, but not
this.
Happening because he's going to be there, but hopefully not there this
well,
year. But you never know.
It's football.
We did have to win a game last year with a backup quarterback. It happens. Dylan Raiola is now an Oregon Duck.
Yes.
Yes, that Dylan Raiola. Timu Mahomes, as many have called him. He's not wearing an Oregon uniform.
Where is he from? Like, where's his home state, city?
He has bounced around a ton. That's a great question. He ended up playing high school football in Georgia, but okay. I don't know if he's from. I don't think he's from Georgia. And then he leans
is he
on
one of
his.
Those, like, he was jumping to high school NIL?
I think so, yeah.
He was born in Hawaii.
Yeah, he's originally born in Hawaii.
Okay.
Which is why he tried to wear number. He called. Whole nother thing here. So he's wearing number 8.
Timmy. Oh.
And then he did an interview. Or no, I think it was one of the videos that Oregon released of their quarterback room. And he's quoted saying, I called Mariota to ask for permission. And he called.
Wait, he's wearing number 8?
He's wearing number 8. But he's saying he's from Hawaii, so it means a lot to him as a quarterback. But then he said he called Dylan Gabriel.
Has this happened? Well, I guess Gabriel, yeah.
And then, but everybody's like, did you really need to call Gabriel? Marcus, I guess.
Undefeated, Hawaii legend.
I mean,
that's third round pick Dylan Gabriel.
He was great. I got no issue with him, but one of these 8s is not like the other.
I know we talked about this.
Call Anthony Newman before you call. Yeah.
I know we talked about it with Dylan, and yeah. I already forgot he was number 8.
Yeah.
And I think my stance was something along the lines of his career has been so successful and good that he's from the same. I get it. Maybe a line shouldn't be crossed in this situation.
So he went. Here's the backstory, by the way.
Okay.
Sophomore year of high school football.
Yeah.
He was born in Hawaii.
Good.
Sophomore year of high school football, he played in Texas.
That's a distance.
Junior year of high school football, he played in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay.
Senior year of high school football, he played in Buford, Georgia. I don't know. I think it was a recruiting thing, and he was supposed to go to Georgia for a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was why he moved
to
Buford.
And then Nebraska, right?
Because his dad went to Nebraska, yeah. And his uncle was on the coaching staff, and he was a legacy there.
So there are people at Nebraska, not that you're going to be shocked to hear this in any way. You probably already thought it.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people, because he did this press conference, and it's, you know, caught traction with you gotta humble yourself sometimes, and I will play the clips, but
yeah,
there's a lot of Nebraska fans that are like, yo, I'm telling you for a fact, you're not at Oregon to humble yourself. You're at Oregon because you thought you were going to get more money, and Nebraska told you to kick rocks, and you had nobody else out there willing to pay you.
That I disagree with.
Not like pay
teams
you,
yeah.
But to pay you.
Yeah, I slightly disagree with that. I understand why a Nebraska fan would be against him, and I don't blame him at all. I have no clue how this is going to work out long term. I also, like, teams are desperate for starting quarterbacks. Desperate.
I know, but
Miami
the norm starting quarterback.
I know. He's also not Dante Moore. Like, Dante Moore started 5 games at UCLA and got benched. Raiola was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but his numbers weren't a treat. He didn't get benched in Nebraska.
Well, I don't think he was allowed to be benched.
Well, sure, but Dante Moore was the number one recruit in the country coming out. He got benched 5 games into his career. If you're
Chip
bad
Kelly.
Enough, you will get benched.
You are.
That's my
you're
only
right,
point.
You're
like,
right.
He was not that bad.
Yeah.
He was not great, but he wasn't that bad. The idea that there were no other spots for him to go start.
Well, it's just more like.
Everybody's got money to spend. Oregon State paid $1 million for a starting quarterback from Duke.
Yeah.
And he's back on your team this year.
Yes.
Like, so I'm not the biggest Raiola guy.
That you're already defending.
But that's a pretty dumb argument that there wasn't another team out there, that Oregon's the only one that was willing to pay him.
Tomato, potato.
Miami didn't have a starting quarterback at the time. You realize that?
Carrot, celery.
They wanted him? Okay.
Miami wanted him?
See, they didn't have a starter. They had to convince the Duke kid to enter the portal.
I think they'd rather have the Duke kid.
Because they were trying for other quarterbacks and they didn't get any of them.
I think, you know what I hate? Can we just all agree on this?
Yes.
Don't we hate that we don't really know? Like, you might be right. You're probably right. But also, what if the other side is right?
Like,
nobody was like, $1 million to be a starting quarterback.
That is crying over spilt milk that I just refuse to believe.
Of the major power conference players, like, could he have gotten at Purdue? Probably, I would imagine.
I mean, in 2 years at Nebraska, I don't know how many games he started. 31 touchdowns, 17 picks, completed 70% of his passes. Those are not out of this world numbers.
He didn't fall on his face.
He was not terrible.
His negative was.
I mean, he's Timu Mahomes. I get that. That's absolutely a concern. He was 18 touchdowns and 6 picks at a 73% completion percentage last year.
Before he, broke his leg,
He broke his leg against USC, and they would have won the game had he not broke his leg. And then their season tail spun from there. So, yeah, I'm rolling my eyes a little bit at that, Nebraska fan. I get why they hate him, and I'm probably going to end up hating him as well.
I don't know if they liked him while he was there, to be fair.
No, I think you put up with him and the excitement level of what he could be. Like, you're willing to look past antics and off-the-field behavior as long as you win, and that's the way I am as a fan, too. But here is Dylan Raiola on the idea. So he transfers to Oregon. And again, this is not the Dante Moore thing. Like, Dante Moore was benched at UCLA, and you could have made the argument maybe there wasn't a starting spot for him out there because we all made the same joke that he was pick six Dante Moore in his time at UCLA, and he decided to come in and back up. And I'm assuming there were other offers for him at that time, but I don't know that. But Raiola, a little bit different. He said he needed to humble himself.
Obviously, you got to humble yourself. I'd be lying if I say it didn't take a couple practices to kind of get used to it. But at the same time, it's all learning, and it's all trying to – you know, eventually achieve the goal of mine and obviously of Dante's right now. And that's our whole room's goal is to get Dante to where he wants to go. And it's a great person to learn from.
Sit down and be humble. He was also asked about the Mahomes comparisons, and here was his answer.
I wouldn't say I lean into it. I love it. I think that's just a lot of outside noise. And there's some things that obviously probably that I do that gets taken over the hump, but I guess just learning. I learned from Dante, but I also go back to the NFL and watch. I watch Patrick, I watch Tom Brady and Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford. Like, those are my favorite people to watch. So I think it's just finding ways to learn and grow my game. And he just so happens to be one of the best in the league that does it at a high level.
I mean, the haircut, the pregame, the number, the throwing motion, the hand warmer, the mannerism. I mean, you just name it. Look, he did it. I also will say this. We can have fun. We can criticize to an extent. He's also super young. Allow him to have gone sure. through a time when he really idolized somebody that he thought he could play just like.
Yeah. It would be advice I would give him if I were in that locker room of, like, the further you distance yourself from this, the better it's going to be.
Do a different haircut.
I mean, step number one is changing the number. He's not number 15 anymore. Yeah. So there you go. Step number one. There step two, to your point, buzz the head. And then step number three.
You can do whatever you want with your hair.
When you run onto the field, let's not
do the leg jump, knee-high thing.
Do anything else you want, buddy. Anything. Literally anything else you want upon running onto the field. Other than that, and people will like
yeah, it. I think a lot of people, if you're a Duck fan, I can't fault you at all for going in of like, yeah, not my favorite guy, kind of a weird pickup, but we questioned the Dante thing and it worked out.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel worked out. Bo Nix worked out. Right now, the track record with landing down in Eugene is you need to revamp your career. You want to restart. You can start right away, go through your lumps and figure it out the way Bo did. Or sit a year.
Right.
Go into next year as a Heisman favorite. Be Dante Moore. That's the recipe.
The other interesting aspect of this, and I know where against it will go, but the idea that I don't think Lanning is the kind of coach who ever guarantees anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so there's also the risk of you're choosing a year of development, because I still maintain he would have had a starting job somewhere else. Now, maybe not to the level of a program like Oregon or Ohio State, like some of the big programs, maybe not. But he could have gotten a starting gig somewhere, and he chose not to go that route. What if there's a bigger name in the portal next year that Oregon wants to go get?
Well, I don't think he's going to be beholden to anything. Right?
Or what if Akili Smith Jr. Yeah. pops and he's the one of the young guys who stuck around and he's, you know, people raving about him
Brock
and his size
Thomas.
And all that. Brock Thomas, you know, local kid.
Look, we
that's
this.
An interesting gamble on Raiola's part is that there's no guarantee that starting job is there for you the next year.
That was my take last year. Yeah. And you remember it going into the Dante Moore season of like, I don't know if he is having to marry himself to the idea of Dante, even though Dante was there for the year.
Yeah.
If he likes what he sees, he ain't
by all
sniff
means,
the portal.
Yeah.
It'll be. Yeah. Raiola's, but I mean, yeah, I don't think Dan Lanning's going to hesitate if he feels like he needs to.
I think the biggest fear I had of all of it was this seemed like a kid who had a massive ego, and now you're putting that behind your starting quarterback, and just what does that do for the room?
Right.
I don't know what it actually looks like behind the scenes. He's saying the right stuff publicly, but that was the biggest fear I had of, dude, this is a guy, number one recruit in high school kind of kid, come like bouncing around school to school to school to school, thinking his S doesn't stink, and how's that going to fit as a backup role?
Mm-hmm.
But so far, it doesn't seem like there's an issue. Dylan Raiola talked to the media for the first time as a backup quarterback down in Eugene, Oregon. Another bit of college football news we'll get to. A change coming to the schedule. We'll explain it and what it is next on The Fan. Well, we've been asking for this change for a while. Now, I don't know what it means for the end of the year, but flying under the radar yesterday, let me find the specific language of this. You know, they have those oversight committees that recommend changes that come in college athletics.
I was going to bring this up today, but I just didn't get to it on my show sheet. Your guy.
It's kind of a shorty.
Spearheading the charge on this.
Dude, so they've been, we've been advocating for a long time, like, why don't we move the season up in college football, start week zero. There's always, like, three games. One of them is in Ireland, and it's Iowa State. It feels big at the time, and you look back at the end of the year, and you're like, all right, that didn't really mean that much. But we just, why do we not have a full slate? This is really dumb. And then everybody plays the next week. Well, they have proposed, the FBS Oversight Committee has recommended starting everybody playing on week zero. So essentially the FBS regular season would be standardized to 14 weeks, during which teams could schedule 12 games. So you would have two bye weeks. Now, this doesn't necessarily change the end of the season yet, because those contracts are still in place, the bowl games having to take place on January 1st or New Year's Eve or whatever the case may be. But it's a step at least to resolving that issue of ending the season earlier in an easier manner. And it makes sense. Like, you're talking the last, I know some people push back against this of like, man, it's still summer, we're traveling, blah, blah, blah. It's the last week of August. Like, it's the last week of summer. I don't have any issue with it. If you want to make time for your last vacation, you can. It'll be games that you could play. It's before the NFL starts. Like, all of it makes sense to me, and I think it's pleasant and surprisingly good news out of college football.
I've always agreed with what Lanning has said from the get of end the season on New Year's Day. They have a long way to go, I think, to get to that point, because you're talking about the title game doesn't get played till what, January 20th?
That's 25th. Ridiculous. It's, next year's like even crazier. It's almost February.
It's almost
year.
February. They're creeping into the Super Bowl date at this point, and I'm not a fan of that. I hope they can get to that. Now,
January 25th next year in Vegas.
So let me be selfish here.
Yes.
I don't like it selfishly, because that's the week of Hood to Coast. And now the season is starting.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm either going to have to stop doing an event that I genuinely love.
Oh, you could DVR all the stuff, too. I know.
A lot of DVR catch-up, man, because you don't get home until Saturday night. Now I have all Sunday, but like, Sunday, I just got to rewatch.
I get it. I get the complaint there, no doubt.
And I understand people that don't care about that. You shouldn't. It shouldn't have to dictate everything. But selfishly, I have a play in this of like, I can manage three games, two of which usually suck.
Sure.
You do the full slate of games, I'm going to be like, cool, I'm done running into Coast. Let me race home now.
So I'm going to just scroll through. This is week one of this year, right? Because nobody really plays in week zero. I think the other part of this that will help you a little bit is how many times do we actually get a great week one slate, right?
Yeah.
Baylor and Auburn.
Right. I mean, I'm interested.
Clemson and LSU play again this year, this time in Baton Rouge.
Super interested.
Okay, so there's one for you.
Because you get Dabo in what feels like maybe the last year versus Lane.
Year.
Welcome to LSU.
First game, no doubt. And this is obviously sans like Oregon and Oregon State games. UCLA plays Cal. These are games that are worth mentioning. That tells you how bad the slate is.
I want to see what Chesney's going to do. I'm very curious what UCLA could become.
The Apple Cup is evidently week one this year in Seattle.
That's,
I did not realize that.
Really weird.
Fresno State, USC. Does that do it for you?
I don't know.
Still scrolling.
Reggie Bush going to stop and go against Fresno State again?
I don't
really care.
Is Fresno State any good? They're in your conference now. You got to keep an eye on them. Notre Dame, Wisconsin. Louisville, Ole Miss. SMU, Florida State. Mm-hmm. That's your week one slate next year.
A couple games. You got a few games in there that I am interested
sans
in.
Sans the Oregon and Oregon State game, which we'll obviously watch. Talk about, like.
Well, in this instance, if this happened this year.
And that was your week zero slate.
I would have, like, to get home, I'd have, like, five games to catch up on.
Yeah, you'd be all right. Notre Dame, Wisconsin.
I'll figure it out.
Let me guess. Notre Dame's going to win.
I'm just being a little selfish here.
I get it. Okay? I get it.
But I do want the schedule to be earlier. I want them to. Lanning is right.
You need the payoff, though. Like, this is a great first step. It should start week zero, but now you. Just to extend the regular season to then have the season still end at the end of January would be really dumb.
Speed up the break between the games at the very end of the season and bowl
Talk
games.
About losing momentum. Yeah. Nobody does it better than college football.
Get rid of the conference championship games, sort it out with like play-in seating stuff, and then let's get it going.
We just solved the issue.
Yep.
We're ready to go.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll play some audio for you as we get set. Blazers-Spurs, game one, Sunday. We'll make some series predictions. I'll put a poll question out there. How do you think it plays out? Who wins and in how many games? So we'll throw that up at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We will spring the line today because we got a nice full slate of NBA hoops to gamble on this weekend. It's a loaded final hour on a fast break Friday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.